4. The Mischievous Wind. Out upon the angry wind, now from sighing, it began to bluster round the merry forge, banging at the wicket and grumbling in the chimney, as if it bullied the jolly bellows for doing anything to order. And what an impotent swagger it was, too, for all its noise. For if it had any influence on that hoarse companion, it was but to make him roar his cheerful song the louder, and by consequence to make the fire burn the brighter, and the sparks to dance more gaily yet. At length they whizzed so madly round and round that it was too much for such a surly wind to bear. So off it flew with a howl, giving the old sign before the alehouse door such a cuff as it went that the blue dragon was more rampant than usual ever afterward, and indeed, before Christmas, reared clean out of its crazy frame. It was small tyranny for a respectable wind to go wreaking its vengeance on such poor creatures as the fallen leaves. But this wind, happening to come up with a great heap of them just after venting its humour on the insulted dragon, did so disperse and scatter them that they fled away pell-mell, some here, some there, rolling over each other, whirling round and round upon their thin edges, taking frantic flights into the air, and playing all manner of extraordinary gambols in the extremity of their distress. Nor was this enough for its malicious fury, for not content with driving them abroad, it charged small parties of them and hunted them into the wheelwright's saw-pit, and below the planks and timbers in the yard, and scattering the sawdust in the air, it looked for them underneath, and when it did meet with any, whew, how it drove them on and followed at their heels. The scared leaves only flew the faster for all this, and a giddy chase it was, for they got into unfrequented places, where there was no outlet, and where their pursuer kept them eddying round and round at his pleasure, and they crept under the eaves of houses, and clung tightly to the sides of hayricks like bats, and tore in at open chamber windows, and cowered close to hedges, and in short went anywhere for safety. But the oddest feat they achieved was to take advantage of the sudden opening of Mr. Pecksniff's front door, to dash wildly into his passage, whither the wind following close upon them, and finding the back door open, incontinently blew out the lighted candle held by Miss Pecksniff, and slammed the front door against Mr. Pecksniff, who was at that moment entering with such violence that in the twinkling of an eye he lay on his back at the bottom of the steps. By this time, weary of such trifling performances, the boisterous rover hurried away rejoicing, roaring over moor and meadow, hill and flat, until it got out to sea, where it met other winds similarly disposed, and made a night of it. By Charles Dickens.